coming to you with words and teaching that will change your life forever.
All things that you will ever need in your life, they're wrapped up in the Word. Go for the Word. You need to understand this thing. And when you get a hold of it, keep saying it. Don't stop talking it. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. The Bible says in the city of Ephesus, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Can you shout amen?
I'm setting the course that I must follow.
In the name of Jesus, prosperity is mine. In the name of Jesus, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul.
Yay! Pastor Chris, worth hearing.
Hallelujah. Take your Bible now and sing it with me.
I have a wonderful treasure, the gift of God without measure.
Wow. Yesterday, we got somewhere, right? We got some good distance. I was sharing with you some very important things. When you study your Bible, you will observe that the strongest men in those days that dominated the world were physical giants began to dominate the world. Then came another era, mental giants found out what to do to subdue physical giants. Some have said that man is a triune being. Others have said he's tripartite. Whichever definition you'd like to give to man, he's primarily a spirit being. He has a soul and he lives in a body. He's trained his physical body to be so strong. And he's done great things. But there were other things he couldn't do in spite of all that he had trained his body to do. And they were greater than what his body could do. He had to train his mind, which belongs to the realm of his soul. and that has changed the world. But there's still so much that the human mind has not been able to accomplish, which must be done. And requires a lot more than man's greatest mental capacities can achieve. And that will have to be done by spiritual giants. So you have had physical giants, you've had mental giants. We're coming to a new era where you're going to have spiritual giants. Men and women who have trained their spirits to recognize the finer things of life, which the human mind cannot know. And you see, that's what we've been born into. The trouble is, most Christians have never trained their human spirit. In fact, some have never even been taught that the training of the human spirit was a possibility. It's amazing. Sometimes you just wonder, so what is it they've been listening to all these years? I think one of the reasons is because the teaching ministry, well, apart from pastoral and evangelistic ministries, most people don't recognize that there are other ministry gifts in the body of Christ. There's a prophetic ministry. Of course, you know, there's a difference. Sometimes I like to clarify this. You see... In the western part of this country, you got a lot of people called prophets. You know, the prophet this and prophet that. It's not because they are called in the office of prophet, but because the very word for that they apply to ministers, to a man of God, over in that area of the country, is primarily the word translated from their language that would mean prophet. So, everyone who's a man of God is called prophet. In a certain sense, in a certain spiritual sense, that's correct. Because every man of God speaks for God. And in that generic terminology, all of them are prophets. But when you talk about the ministry of a prophet, that's a totally different thing. It's like we say we've got Sunday school teachers in churches. And so, oh, that's my Sunday school teacher over there. Oh, that's my teacher over there. That's my Sunday school teacher over there. That's my Bible study class teacher over there. That doesn't mean he's called in the office of a teacher. But he's been given the responsibility to teach. But there is such a thing as the ministry of a teacher. And just because you've been teaching in a school doesn't mean that you have the ministry of a teacher. No, the ministry of a teacher is a special calling of the Holy Spirit. And it grants you such revelation and ability to communicate the Word of God in a supernatural way. So there are these offices in the body of Christ, the apostolic ministry, the evangelistic ministry, you know, and these are all important. But many times, we don't give them the recognition. We don't give them their place. And so most of us have cheated ourselves and haven't received such ministries. Hallelujah. Are you still there? See, the teaching ministry is so important because that's where you learn the Word of God that you can actually live by. You see that? That's where you learn the Word of God that you can live by. That's where you are established in the things of God. You come to know. Then you know how to handle life for yourself. You know exactly what to do. See, spiritual things are important. For example, we have the healing school. A lot of people wonder, what do we do in the healing school? Well, what do we do there? Well, the people have been there. You just heard healing school. That's what it is. If you hear medical school, they don't do engineering there, do they? Medical school is for medicine. Healing school is for healing. It's a school. And I always make it clear that when you come to the healing school, you're not coming to a healing home. It's not a healing home. You see, there's a difference. It's not a place where you come and stay and say, okay, I want to come and get healed, so pray for me. It's not a prayer house. We tell them, it's clear, it's not a prayer house, it's not a healing house, not a healing home. It's a healing school, it's a school. We just want to show you what belongs to you. Hallelujah. Okay, are you ready? We mentioned six things yesterday. I want to take you to the seventh one. What was the first one? Give it to me. Hey. Now you're looking for your notebook. Oh, something beautiful is going to happen in your life today. Yeah. Hallelujah. You see, the Christian life is from your spirit. And the Word of God helps your spirit glow. You glow on the inside. And you can actually fan up the embers of that fire inside your spirit. Okay, give me the first one. The Christian has what? Eternal life. What a truth. What a reality. If men walk in that consciousness, that when you are a Christian, you actually have eternal life. That's what the Bible says. You got it. You're not going to have it. You have it. Have you ever had that consciousness? That you actually have eternal life. And what is eternal life? Eternal life is what? The life of God. The nature of God. It's a God type of life. The reason you are the way you are is because you've got human life. You see that? And now, you are hearing, you've got what? The God life. So what life should you live? The God type of life. Now, is this a possibility? Emphatically, yes. So why haven't I done this all the time? Because you didn't know. God says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. The lack of knowledge. And that's the reason for all the cults all over the world. They're looking for some divine power. They're looking for some supernatural something. You go to Europe, you see all of them trying to get into something. They're looking for something supernatural. They know there's something out there that's more than this brain. And they want to get some of it. But they don't know how. And that's what Jesus brought to us. Hallelujah. Look, when you train your human spirit, you'll never be defeated again. You train your human spirit. Sometimes it looks difficult, especially at the beginning, like you're hearing it now. You're wondering, how am I going to do this? When you started out your multiplication table, 2 times 1, 2, 2 times 2, 4, it was difficult. You thought you'd never know it. Am I right? You tried it, you thought you'd never know it. I said, all right, go to the fourth one. 4 times 1, 4, 4 times 2, 13. Oh, dear Lord. You thought it was so frustrating. But the time came. Anything, any figure, any number of digits you were told to multiply, it was meat for you. You see, because you've gone through the process. You've understood the principles. It's now cheap for you. That's the same way it is in the realm of the spirit. When you start trying out, it looks like it's difficult. But just go on. You find it so easy. Hallelujah. It's easy. All right, the second one was what? Again, the Christian has conquered Satan. Great. The third one? The Christian what? Has faith. He has it. All he has to grow to do to what is God is to develop it. Grow it strong and increase it. Number four. I didn't hear you. The Christian is the righteousness of God. I like that. He is the righteousness of God. He is the proof of God's equity. He is the proof that God is just and fair and impartial. Hallelujah. The fifth one. The Christian has the grace to excel in everything. Have you started learning to put that to work? To live an excellent life. You have to understand that it is not only possible, it is practicable. You have the grace to excel in everything. You can. You have to first believe that that means you. That means you. Hallelujah. You know, many of us don't know how to deal through the things of the Spirit, through the laws of God. And we wonder why we are the way we are. I asked a question a while ago. I said, why is it we got so many with mental problems? Sometimes these mental problems are not because of epilepsy and so on and so forth. A lot of times, parents, I hope you're listening to me. A lot of times, they are the result of your words. A lot of times, they are the result of your words. You call your children foolish, stupid, big head, good for nothing. Then they turn out that way. And then you say, oh God, heal him. How's God going to heal him? That's what you called him. That's what you brought forth. You've got to learn to change your talking. It's because of the way he was behaving. That's why I called him. No. Don't call him what you see. Call him what you want. Yes. Call him what you want. It's so important. And because of, why is it that many of us have difficulty believing God? Because we think God is like us. No, we are the ones to be like him. We think God is like us. So we find it difficult to forgive ourselves. We see ourselves the way we behave. And so we call ourselves by the picture we get. But God gives us a different principle. He says it's got the mirror principle. He says as we look at the glory of God in a mirror, we are changed. How can you look at the glory of God in a mirror? What is God telling you? He says when you look into the mirror of God, you see the glory of God. Well, that's an amazing thing. If I look into a mirror, I see myself. So what is God telling me? That I am the glory of God. Then he tells me, he says, as you keep looking, you are metamorphosed. You are transfigured. to become more and more like the glory that you see in the mirror. And what did he say the mirror of God is? The Word of God. That's why when I share the Word of God with you, you feel like strength is coming to you. You feel like you're really glorious. You feel like you're somebody special. Why? All I'm doing is showing you the mirror of God. And he says, as we look, we are changed. As we look, we are changed. You literally feel a change taking place in your spirit. Call your children what you want to see. Don't call them how they behave. Now, you ought to know what you've been doing has not been working because you've been calling him all those names and things didn't get any better. So try what I'm telling you. Call him what you see in your spirit that you want, not what you see him acting like. He acting like a fool. You say, fool, come here. Oh, you'll be wrong because that's what you're going to get. That's what you're going to get. You know what God calls us? My righteous ones. That's what he calls us. Hey, let me show you something. Turn to the book of Hebrews. Are you there? I want you to read chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. I want you all to read it together. Huh? No. It should be, wherefore, sinful brethren. No, if he said that, you would agree quickly. Oh yeah, that's me. Wherefore, sinful brethren. Was that what you saw? Wherefore, foolish brethren. Was that what you saw? I know you know all foolish Galatians. Thank God he was so specific. Galatians. I'm not a Galatian. Well, he said, wherefore, holy brethren. Are you holy? Yes. Now, you know, the doctrine of holiness has been so messed up. In many places, they think that the holy brethren are those stainless steel. You understand? They don't touch anybody, don't do nothing. I mean, they're just brother holiness, you know? And he talks like, good morning, brother. Hi, sis. Hey! That's not holiness. That's not what holiness is. That's not what holiness is. The doctrine of holiness in the Bible has nothing to do with your behavior. Now, this is so important. If you don't know it, you'll be struggling in vain, trying to be holy. Many of you have tried all your life to become what you already were. Trying to receive what already was yours. Wanting to be holy. There's a song about Jesus coming and only the holy ones or something like that will go. Rapture. A rapture song. How they sing it? I've forgotten how they sing it now. No, I know that one, only true believers. That's correct. But there's something about holy, just the holy ones. Anyway, the doctrine of holiness from the Old Testament into the New Testament has nothing to do with your behavior. For example, as you study, you'd notice he called certain places holy. Why were those places holy? Because of his presence. If God showed up on that mountain, it was called holy. When Jacob built an altar unto the Lord, it was because he saw a vision. He had a dream, and angels were ascending and descending a ladder. He said, wow, this is the house of God. He said, the Lord has been here and I didn't know it. And he built an altar unto the Lord. He called the place holy. In fact, I remember, you know, because the time he would go back to Bethel. The Christians, you know, sometimes they organize a program, they say the title is Back to Bethel. In other words, let's go back to where God first touched our lives. You know, there's this Old Testament kind of life many Christians like to live. Something is wrong. You see, we think Christianity should be according to our feelings. No. Christianity is the... Oh, this is important. The Christian is a word practitioner. Hey, I don't know if you got that clearly. He is the doer of the word. In the Old Testament, they were told to obey the word. Obey the word. We are not told to obey the word in the New Testament. We are told to do the word. There's a big difference between obeying the word and doing the word. Are you hearing me? Obeying the word means doing according to the commandments. Doing the word in the New Testament is not obeying a commandment. It means acting out what it says. Hey, listen. Paul says ye are the epistles of Christ. Do you know what that means? He means you are living letters. You haven't gotten it. You didn't get that. Can I get that back to you? You want to hear it again? All right. Who is Jesus? The Word. The living Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All right? You know all that. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So, Jesus Christ is the living Word. Now, the Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. So, we were born again by the Word. Now, if we were born again by the Word, what are we? Dogs give birth to dogs. Goats give birth to goats. Come on, talk to me. So when the Word of God gives birth, what will you be? You see, you are the Word. Come alive. See, you are the expression of His life. The Word of God is at work in you. So He calls us doers of the Word. He says, be ye doers of the Word, not hearers only. Do us. Let me give you a simple example. Paul is at Lystra in Acts chapter 14. When you read from verse 7 to verse 9, Paul is at Lystra. He's preaching the gospel. And he sees a man important on his feet. And the man, the Bible says, Paul perceived that the man had faith to be healed. So he said, man, stand up. He didn't pray for him. Why? Because he preached to him the gospel. The Bible says he preached the gospel. What's the gospel? That look, you have no reason to be crippled anymore. The Lord has taken that evil out of you and given you his health. So what? Gospel means if you could not walk, you can just get up and start walking. So that's the gospel. That's the gospel. It looks hard, but it's so simple. That's the reality. He has made us supernatural beings. You've got to understand. He says, we are partakers of the divine nature. If you had a growth in your body, you don't have to cry. You don't have to run around, doctor, doctor, doctor. No, leave that for the babies. The nepios. You put your hand right there and you say, growth in the name of Jesus. Get out. Get out. You don't have to give it any further concern. It's got to go. How did Jesus talk to the tree? He wanted figs. The Bible says there were no figs on the tree. So he said, tree, nobody will eat fruit from you anymore. And walked away. The Bible says his disciples heard it. The next day, now when he said it, the tree was still the same. Nothing looked different. But the next day, as they passed by, the tree had dried up from the roots. The Bible says, Peter, the apostle, calling to remembrance, said to the master, "Master, behold the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away." What was Jesus' response? "Have the faith of God." King James translation says, "Have faith in God." He said, "Have the faith of God." In other words, have the God kind of faith. He spoke to the tree. The next day, it dried up from the roots. When you talk to the cancer, it dies from the roots. You've got it. You've got it. Listen, you've got it. You've got the authority to speak in His name. The life He has given you is an extraordinary life. No wonder He says, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." That is the hope of glory. You can have a glorious life because Christ is in you. No more shame for your life. No more reproach in your life. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He says, "God has not given us the spirit of fear or timidity or cowardice, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind." That means I got an intelligent... Oh boy. I belong to God's super intelligentsia. Mine, oh my. I'll never be a fool. I'll never talk foolishly. Hey, come on here. He says He's given me a spirit of love, of power, and of a sound mind. Sound, I'm sound.
I'm sound.
Say it with me, I'm sound.
I'm sound.
You see? Thank you. How many times did anybody tell you were sound? If you didn't do something that seemed so wonderful. They don't give that to you, but God gives it to you. That's the way you talk to your children. That's the way I talk to my kids. I tell them, "You're the best in school." That's what I tell them. I said, "Don't forget, you're the most intelligent in that class." That's what I tell them. Say, "I'm sound." I say, "I'm sound." Say, "I'm sound." The Holy Spirit, oh my goodness, the Holy Spirit has come to reside in you. You're sound. And you know what? That's what it is to do the word. It means, it's like what Jesus said. Oh my goodness. He says, "Search the scriptures, for they are they which testify of me." He said, "The scriptures testified of him." The scriptures testify of you. Every day you say, "I'm sound, I'm sound." Don't wait for anybody to say it about you. God already said it. Let me show you the principle of the kingdom. You ready? Turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. You are going to be so successful, so powerful, so rich and buoyant, so influential. Hallelujah. All my closest associates, they're number one. That's the truth. They're number one everywhere. Number one. You ought to be number one. Because I seed them with the word of God. You're number one?
Yes.
Say this, and I'm number one. Hallelujah. This book will make you number one. All right. Hebrews chapter 13. I want us to look at it. You know, sometimes people speed read the Bible. When they speed read the Bible, they lose a lot of stuff. Okay? Now, I'm going to read it slowly, and I want you to notice something that's difficult to observe. And no wonder you probably never heard about it. Verse 5. Let your conversation, the Greek word translated conversation actually means manner of life. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. You know, that's so nice for religious folks. They say, yeah, that's what they know about that verse. But look at something else, which is bigger. For he hath said, listen. Hold on. There's a nice blessing there. I know you're catching, but that's not what I want to show you. I want to show you something deeper than that. You ready for it? Okay, let's go again. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. After that, what do you have? Is that a full stop?
No.
What do you have there? You got a colon there, right? That means it's not true yet. What's next? Read the next part. So that we may boldly say, stop! Stop! I want to show you something so powerful in these two verses. God is showing us an extraordinary principle of the kingdom of God. He says, for he hath said, so that we may boldly say. He hath said, so that we may boldly say. That tells you something. The reason God said what he said is so that we may boldly say something that is consistent with what he said. So he had said, God has not given you a spirit of timidity, of fear, or cowardice, but of love, of power, of a sound mind, so that we may boldly say, I'm sound. I'm sound. I'm sound. You see that? I can boldly say that. I'm sound. So I get into the privacy of my room, and I walk around in my room and say, I'm sound. Boy, I'm sound. The Holy Ghost has walked in my brain, has walked in my mind. I'm sound. I'm sound. If you don't proclaim success in your privacy, you will never have it publicly. Now, that's another important thing. Listen, the government will never make you rich. Forget it. No government was designed to make anybody rich. Hey, come on, are you kidding? It doesn't matter who's in office. PDP or PRP or PPP. Doesn't matter which one is in office. They'll never make you rich. They'll never make you successful. Success is in your spirit. It's in your spirit. It's in your spirit. Say it again, I'm sound. Say it again, I'm sound. My mind is sound. My spirit is sound. I'm sound. Oh, that's a good one. Praise God. Hallelujah. Imagine when you have that consciousness. Every time you read anything, you know, some people say, when I read, I don't remember what I read. They say, I don't know what is wrong with me. After I finish reading, I just forget everything. Stop talking like that. Start saying, I'm sound, I'm sound, I'm sound. You'll be amazed how you retain memory. Hallelujah. Listen, if you were born of the Word of God, oh boy, this is important. Every creature must remain connected to its source to be alive. Fishes came from water. They must remain connected to water to be alive. If you take them out of the water, doesn't matter whether your bed is made of gold, if you put that goldfish on your bed, it will not survive. It will not survive. Cattle came from the ground. You can't put them inside the sea and expect them to survive. They've got to be connected to the ground. Their food is on the ground. It's here. Your human body came from the dust of the earth. It's got to remain connected to this ground to remain alive. Your spirit came from God. It's got to remain connected to God to be alive. When you're born again, the Bible already showed you, you were born of the Word of God. You must remain connected to the Word. Whatever the Word says about you is what you say. Now, when you study the book of Acts, you'll understand something. The certain terms used for the church, for the Christians. You also see this through the epistles. Christianity was called the way. Christianity was also called the confession, the great confession. Why are we called by these words? Because of what the Bible says about us. It doesn't matter how quiet you are, you're supposed to be a talker. Not talking nonsense, not just talking and trying to be... No. You talk the word. Did you ever read about Jesus? He was always talking. He's always talking. You know why you have a mouth? You think it's for eating. Coke and meat pie. Every now and then you're sipping something, eating something. Your mouth is always calling for food. That mouth is not for food. And it's not for cursing people. So it says it's for praying. It's not for praying either. That mouth was given to you to chart your course in life. This mouth you're seeing. Hallelujah. Are you still there? Don't talk your fears. Talk your faith. The Christian should not talk his fears. He should talk his faith. Now, people who are often very sick, listen to them very well. You notice they talk sickness a lot. They talk their fears a lot. Hey, they say there's flu. They say there's flu is moving around. Ah, we don't know what is going to happen. They always talk like that. Oh, I'm not so well. They hardly like to say that they are well. They love sympathy. How are you? Well, okay, somehow, so-so. All kinds of answers. They never boldly say, wow, I'm great. Anytime you ask me, how was your night? I say, great as always. Great as always. I always have a great night. Great as always. Great as always. Cool. I'm gone for good. Well, we don't know. I say, we don't know what is happening. Nobody knows tomorrow. That's failure gone on rampage. Are you hearing me? That's failure gone on rampage. Some of you are going through certain health conditions right now that you don't need to go through. You don't require any medication, anything. If you would just accept what I'm sharing with you, you'll walk out of this place perfectly normal. Because that sickness came as a result of your fears and your wrong communication. If you would change your communication tonight, you'll start enjoying health at its best. Some people say there's 5 minutes madness for everybody. Have you ever heard that? See, everybody has his own 5 minutes madness. Have you heard that before? I heard that when I was a kid. See, everybody has his 5 minutes madness. Some others say, everybody is sick somehow. Nobody can be perfectly healthy. Where do they get these theories? Theories that have kept them in bondage. It doesn't matter who gave you those theories. Reject them. Are you telling me Jesus was sick somehow? If he wasn't sick somehow, he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Don't you understand that? That means the same life that he has is what he has given you. I am the vine, ye are the branches. Can it get better than that? No. I got the life of God in me. I got the life of God in me. No, imagine if for the last 20 years you've been talking like this. No, imagine the life. Listen, my dad is here, he'll tell you. I said, my dad is here, he'll tell you. I've been talking like this for more than 20 years. Are you hearing me? I've been talking like this for more than 20 years. Now you're quiet. I've been talking like this. I got the life of God, and it's not something I stumbled upon. It's the word of God that came alive in my spirit. When I got a hold of it, I endorsed it and confessed it. And I said, I'll never be poor. No, I found out something in the word of God. I'm a success. Well, I've been saying I'm a success for many years. While I was still a student, I was holding what I called success in life seminars. I still have the tapes. I was teaching success in life seminars. As a schoolboy, how to succeed in life. Life. As he got the tapes. Hallelujah. Because I found out the stuff in this book. It works, brother. It works. I learned that I could talk to my car, I could talk to my body, I could talk to my shoes, I could talk to anything, I could talk to my money, I could talk to anything. I found that out. And I started doing it. That's your way. We are sons of God. Hey, wasn't that one of the points I gave you? Was that the last one? Point number six. Yeah, bona fide, legal, and vital sons of God. He says, now, beloved, now are we the sons of God. We are not going to be. We are not about to be. It's not a promise. It's a statement of fact. He says, we are the technon of God. Technon. And I explain the difference between technon and heothesia, adoption. He says, we are the technon of God. Meaning we are vitally born of God. We are his reproduction. Do you understand? Not just legal sons. Legal sons are heirs. We actually came out of him. We have the same life. We are as much the sons of God as Jesus was the Son of God. What boldness we should have. What life we ought to be living. See, some people are concerned about when they do wrong, you know. What about, how can a man live without sin? The sin problem is no longer your problem. Romans chapter 6 verse 14 declares, sin shall not have dominion over you. Become righteousness conscious. Okay, that I've just laid out number 7. So let me tell you about number 7. You ready for it? Okay, let me give it in a way you can write it down. It was number 7, huh? That was left, right? Glory. Now, there's a difference between this one. Now, you remember we said the Christian is the righteousness of God. All right? There's a big difference between that and this one. And I explained how he is the righteousness of God. Now, this one is the Christian has been made righteous with God's righteousness. Oh boy. Mine, oh my. Mine, oh my. Think about it. You know what it is to be made righteous with the righteousness of God? All right. You ready for scriptures? Let's go back to one of them where we got the one we read yesterday. Romans chapter 3, verse 26. Can you read it for me? Are you there? Okay, read it for me. Verse 26. Oh, glory to God. That he might be just and what? The justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Now, that's a little blind to us. That's why I gave you the Greek words yesterday for justification and then righteousness. Now, this time, what it actually says is that he might be righteous. And the righteousness of him which believeth in Jesus. He is the righteousness of the man that believes in Jesus. He says God himself has proved himself righteous. So in that way, I am his proof of his righteousness. He has declared himself, shown himself to be just. And he is the justifier, the righteousness of the man that believes in Jesus. He is my righteousness. I am made righteous with his righteousness. Look at Romans chapter 5. Read verse 1. Chapter 5. Read verse 1. Want to go. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Being made righteous by faith. Being declared righteous by faith. He says we are at peace with God. He's talking about a oneness. It's like when you declare peace between nations that have been at war. And now they've come together in peace. And that's what they're looking at. Being therefore declared righteous by faith, we are at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it'll get better. It'll get better. Go to verse 17. And I want you to carefully read from verse 17 to verse 19. You would love this. Want to go. They which what? Receive abundance of grace and of what? The gift of righteousness shall reign in life. Mark that verse. Mark that verse 17. We'll come back to it. 18. Aha. Oh, boy. My goodness. That's wonderful. Go to 19. Let me read it to you. From verse 17, for if by one man's offense, he's talking about Adam. Adam back there in the garden when Adam sinned against God. If by one man's offense, death reigned. Death reigned. You know some people have those names today. You need to change your names. Listen, some people have been so long in certain things, even if those things are bad, they don't want to change them. You got to change them. Because, let me explain. In this part of the world, people fear death. They have names being interpreted to mean things like death is supreme, death is final, no one can withstand death. You know, all these kind of names. And they call people by these names all the time. Maybe your native name. means something like this, change it. Because death there, death doesn't only refer to physical cessation of life, or biological cessation of life. Death has something to do with your business, it has something to do with your house, it has something to do with everything you put your hands upon to do. Some people experience death in everything they do, and they don't understand it. You got to be careful. Those names were names given to you because of circumstances. Maybe circumstances surrounding your birth. So because of what someone, like the guy who in the Bible, what's the guy's name again? Jabez. Jabez was a son of sorrow. The mother called him son of sorrow. His life became sorrowful. He prayed to God. He said, oh God, take me out of this mess. Did you notice every time God encountered a man and wanted to do something spectacular or specific and good in the man's life, he changed his name first. Look at Jacob. Just because he tried to come out before his brother, they were twins, he got a hold of his brother's heel when they were born, the father said, wow, his name is Jacob. Swindler, fast guy, 419, you get it? What happened? When he grew up, he deceived his father. Right? He got his brother's birthright. Jacob. Until the day God met him. And when God met Jacob, the Bible says he wrestled with him. He thought it was an ordinary angel, but it was God himself. Wrestled with him all night long. He said, I will not leave you until you bless me. God said, no, I can't bless you. Why? Your name. What is your name? He said, my name is Jacob. God said, that's right. See, I can bless Jacob. Jacob means deceiver. I can bless the deceiver. Then God said, all right, you change your name now. You will no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. Some of you are called Jacob up to now. The real Jacob was changed to Israel. You are still answering Jacob. No, something must be wrong. What is Simon? A man by the name of Simon came to Jesus. Jesus said, what's your name? He said, my name is Simon. Jesus said, you know the meaning of Simon? A reed shaken by the wind, unstable. That is the New Testament version of Reuben. Unstable. Jacob said to his son Reuben, you are unstable as water, therefore you will not excel. Jesus said to Simon, you shall no longer be called Simon, but Peter. A rock, a stone, a little stone that is founded on a greater base. That's what Peter means. It's Petrus. It's that little stone you find on the ground and you think it's a little thing and you try to kick it. Uh-oh. Only to find out, you dig out and find there's a bigger stone inside the ground. That's what Peter means. Peter is not a small rock you throw. No. It's Petrus on Petra. Are you getting me? So don't just answer just any name. They call you all the time. Abraham was called exalted father, meaning assumed father. He had 300 servants born in his house. He had no child. When God met him, he said, your name will no longer be called Abraham, but Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made you. Your name matters. Your name matters. It's better to have a name that doesn't mean anything. Oh yes. Because your character will give that name a meaning. Anybody can be given any name that has no meaning. But your character will give it a meaning. And the meaning of that name from then on will be taken from your character. But if it already has a meaning, It will take over your life. Because that meaning is a confession. Are you still there? All right, I was reading something to you from verse 17, right? For by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Death reigned. He's not saying death is still reigning. I don't know why your name should mean that death reigns. No, death reigned. He used to reign. Reigned by one, much more. There which receive abundance of grace, aye, and of the gift of righteousness, shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. You've got to reign as a king. You've got to reign as a king. Can you say amen? You've got to reign as a king. No more failure in your life. No more disappointments in your life. Are you hearing me? You are fully in charge. By the power of the Spirit of God, you know where you are going. There is no confusion in your life. Can you shout amen to my... Look at verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. What an argument. Paul was a lawyer. What an argument. My goodness. This is extraordinary. What an argument. What a presentation. What a submission. This is wonderful. I love it. I love it. Let me read verse 19. Wow. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. By Adam's disobedience, many were made sinners. So, by the obedience of one, shall many be made what? Righteous. So, last night, some people gave their hearts to Christ here. They became righteous. Tonight, some people will be made righteous. That's the reason you have it in future tense. Because it's continuous. We're winning more people. And they enter into the righteousness of God. Because He presents to you both the legal aspect of redemption and the vital aspect of redemption. You are made righteous. Amen. With the righteousness of God. Amen. As in holiness in scripture... actually has to do with the presence of God rather than actions. It is where God has been. He calls you holy brethren because you have become the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the dwelling place of God. That has made you holy. And now His righteousness has been accounted to you. Reckoned to your account. So you have the righteousness of God. You have it now. You have His righteousness. You cannot be more righteous tomorrow than you are today. You don't grow in righteousness. As a Christian, the righteousness you have is the righteousness of Christ. So you don't increase in it. You cannot be any more righteous than you were the day you became a Christian, when you received Christ into your heart. That day you were made righteous. Now, what is the benefit of this knowledge? Righteousness consciousness makes us masters. Write that down because it's very important. I gave you the definition of righteousness. It gives us the ability to stand in the presence of God without condemnation, without guilt, without inferiority. It is the rightness of God in the human spirit. It is the ability to do right. That is righteousness. It is conformity to truth or the revealed divine will. That is righteousness. And the Bible says that has been granted us. As a gift. You read it in verse 17. It's your gift. He's given it to you. Now you can stand in the presence of God without fear. In the same way you can stand in the presence of Satan without fear. As a master. It is the reason for fellowship. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. He says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son Jesus. Righteousness makes fellowship possible. See, because of that righteousness that He has granted us, He brought us into oneness with Himself. He gifted us to be righteous. When he made us righteous, he brought us into his throne room to share with him. Now we share not only what belongs to him, we share his very name. We are called by the name of Jesus. This is extraordinary. This is fantastic. Think about it. He says we are the body of Christ. He is the head and we are the body. The body and the head are called by the same name. The Bible says ye are Christ. Think about it. He says you are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. We are. It is the basis of fellowship. The understanding of righteousness. Righteousness consciousness is what makes us realize we are one with God. We are no longer afraid of evil. We are no longer afraid of God. We are no longer afraid of anything. We have come out of our hiding. Can you shout amen, somebody? Now we utter words that are blessed of God. When we speak, it's as though he's the one speaking. Because the Bible says, whatsoever you do in word or deeds, do as a representation. A representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. We speak in his name. We act in his name. We live in his name. Who are we? Who are we? Think about it. What have we become? But the glory of God. Can you shout amen? As Jesus was, we have become the very effulgence of his glory. The express image of his personality. That's what we are. And when we recognize it, every time we pray, we understand that all of heaven gives us hearing. Because now we have right standing in the presence of God. We have right standing. That's what righteousness gives you. Right standing in the presence of God. Hallelujah. And the Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It says it makes tremendous power available. Dynamic in its working. The prayer of a righteous man. And we are his righteousness. We are his righteous ones. Just wonderful. Now when we pray, all of heaven hears. When we pray, there is no no. The Bible says, you know, when I was younger in the things of God, I had a friend of mine one time, we were talking, and we said, people don't understand that God says no sometimes, God says yes sometimes. When you pray, God can say no if you ask for something. If he doesn't agree with you, he'll say no. And if he agrees, say yes. Well, we were wrong. I found out in the Bible, he never says no. No, he never says no. You surprised? He says all the promises of God in Christ Jesus are yes. And in him, amen, to the glory of God. Now, what about when you pray outside his will? He doesn't hear you. You didn't push the right codes. He just doesn't hear you. He never needs to tell you no. He just doesn't hear you. Bible says if we pray according to his word, according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of him. What a life. Ask somebody, what a life. What a life. Listen, you've been brought into the supernatural life. You are not ordinary. I said you are not ordinary. No wonder the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, bringing down every high thing that exalted itself above the knowledge of God. Shout amen, somebody. Who are you? Are you a partaker of the divine nature? You will never fail. You cannot be defeated. You have the wisdom of God working in you. Can you shout amen, somebody? Hallelujah. Say, I'm wise. I'm wise. I'm wise. I'm wise. The wisdom of God has been granted me. Hey, do you know that? Do you know that? Sit down for a moment. Sit down for a moment. The Bible says that Christ. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You getting something? Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 30. I want you all to read verse 30 for me. One, two, go. He's made unto us what?
Wisdom.
That means he's my wisdom. Man, oh man. And what?
Righteousness.
And what?
Righteousness.
And what?
Righteousness.
You see that? He's my wisdom. I don't lack wisdom. He is my wisdom. Christ is my wisdom. See why I'm smart? See why I'm smart? Christ is my wisdom. I'm smart. Christ is my wisdom. I'm smart. I can face today. I can face the future. Christ is my wisdom. I'm smart. I'm smart. I'm smart. Oh boy. Shout hallelujah. Wow. Do you love the word of God? Is it working for you? All right, let's put it to work now. Are you ready? Are you ready? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God.
This message is in two parts. To order for the complete package, log on to www.christembassyonlinestore.org.